I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. I am your stupid, awesome analyst, John Star, and with me is the hard man with hard opinions, AFLM.
Hi.
And we have our security guy, Greg.
Hola.
Our King Baby Doug Evan.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches.
And Elite Four Derek.
Howdy.
This is episode 165 of the Wicked Anime Podcast, and today we are going to be talking about some really awesome old people.
Yay!
So this came out of nowhere because like I had this bag of tricks, also just known as a list in my phone of all these topics, random topics that we came up with throughout the years. We didn't really have one for today, so I pulled it straight out of that. And so we're talking about old people. I don't know.
They just hooray!
Well, I mean, most of us have seen John Wick this weekend.
And he's getting old.
And John Wick is a very cool old people. And so we wanted to talk about the other cool people, old people in anime, who can also kick some serious buttocks. So I actually am wondering that, though. Is John Wick... So, like, Keanu Reeves is pushing 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is John Wick also supposed
to be 50, actually.
That age? Is he past 50? Somebody Google search that.
And his net worth, because it should be $1 billion.
I thought he was just the same age as Keanu Reeves, and that's what they were playing.
I would assume so, yeah.
Keanu Reeves is 54 years old.
Holy crap. He does not look it. He does not look 54.
No, he's a vampire.
You mean he's Twilight?
He is Twilight? No.
He's a Twilight vampire?
Twilight princess.
And Keanu Reeves' net worth, for anybody who is interested, is $360 million.
Oh my. That's a lot of bacon.
Canadian bacon.
I highly doubt that's even anywhere close to, like, how, like, the top grossing people.
Tom Cruise. How many Constantines is that?
Seven.
And think about it, like, he's been the go-to, like, action star since 1991, so ever since Point Break. So he's been, like, the S-list action star for almost 30 years.
And he really isn't either, because a lot of people skirt by him, and a lot of people said that they don't like Keanu Reeves, but I certainly do. Like, I've always loved Keanu Reeves, and people can... go shut their face because Keanu Reeves is definitely the best.
I think it's because people still find it easy to make fun of him. Like, even like in the early 90s in the TV show The Critic, like, you couldn't go past three episodes without them making fun of Keanu Reeves or some fashion.
Mm. I mean, so basically this comes down to, most of us, except for Derek, has seen John Wick 3 by this point. It is awesome. You definitely need to see it. It's, I would say...
Okay, well, so for me, John Wick 3 was... I was way more excited for John Wick 3 than I was for Endgame, because yeah. I was just like... Everybody's like, oh my gosh, Endgame's coming out! Marvel's ending! I was like, but John Wick is coming out this year. Who cares? You know, it's just like... John Wick is... And John, and in my opinion, I think John Wick is going to be probably the best movie I see all year.
Yeah, and I believe that last night the word that I used to describe seeing John Wick was orgasmic.
Yes. The fight scenes were so good, I was just like, oh, yes. I seriously, like, I went watching it, it was so satisfying watching those fight scenes. Like, I was just like, oh, yes. Like, in the theater. Like,
when he used the horse as a weapon.
Oh, that was
all I'm going to say.
That scene in the Arab town was, I think, the best fight scene of the movie.
Oh, I highly disagree.
Except Halle Berry kind of ruined it a little bit for me.
What? Come on. Halle Berry was great in this film.
Like, but I'm a little biased because Halle Berry has always been kind of one of my celebrity crushes. Like, I think Halle Berry is one of the most beautiful women on the face of this planet. And so having her in a John Wick film, I was just like, yeah. All right, rad. And then she had two adorable dogs, and I was just like, this is even better.
Oh, those dogs are so awesome.
I love how, like, they go from biting off people's faces in 1 second, and then in the next is like, yay, we're going on a car ride.
Oh, we should probably say spoiler alert, by the way.
No. But this is all common knowledge for going into it, because we're not going to talk about...
We haven't even said anything that hasn't been in the... We've said everything that's been in the trailer.
Yeah. And but that's all I really want to talk about, is how awesome the movie is. Everybody should go see it. It was my personal end game, but it kind of isn't anymore, because I thought this was the last John Wick. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but I thought this was going to be the last John Wick, but it's not. Mm-mm. Like, there's more, and I'm like, hey, when the movie's over, I was like, this has to be ending pretty soon. I'm like, what's going to happen? And then it ended on a cliffhanger. I was like, what? Oh my gosh! Like, this is, what?
Now, let me ask, because I went and saw the film at one of the, the Dolby styled movie theaters.
Okay.
Where, like, you felt everything. Like, I swear to God, like, the sound effects in this Dolby theater, it was like 1 or 2 decibels below how a gun legit sounds when it's being fired.
I would.
Because you know how sometimes you watch a movie and it's like a little bit muted? You felt every shot. You felt every kick. You felt every stab in this movie theater.
I felt that way as well in the theater that we saw it in, but even more so, like, when I saw Kingsman in the Taiwanese theater, that's how all of their movie theaters are. Like, every gunshot just, like, resonates through your soul. Like, it's so loud.
I was, like, halfway through, I was like, maybe I should have brought earplugs for this, because I was not expecting it to be this loud.
Yeah. I think that my favorite fight scene in the entire film was actually one that was also in the trailers, which was when they were fighting in the antique weapons shop.
Yes. Oh my God.
Where they're breaking open the cases of knives and they're throwing them at each other, and they're not throwing knives, so they're not, like, sticking to anybody or anything like that. They're just bouncing off of each other.
The whole movie theater when I was watching this film was just roaring with, like, applause during that entire scene.
Yeah. It's everybody needs to go see it. And if you haven't seen John Wick, just marathon them. 1, 2, 3, and it's so worth it. Every single second is just so worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it also has a very important lesson about being quiet in the library.
That scene was great. Like, perfect way to start the movie.
I think that in John Wick 2, the scene that got everybody was the scene where he actually ended up killing two guys with a pencil. And in this one in particular, I think it might have been that library scene. Or actually the way that the antique weapon scene ended, probably.
There is...
Can I say something too? Like, there's a lot of blood, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of detail in this thing. But yet, the one thing that made me cringe throughout the entire film was seeing a ballerina pull her toenail off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was awful.
Yeah,
like everyone's like, oh, the violence is fine. Oh, this is good. This is fine. As soon as you see her do that, everyone was like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure everybody in our movie theater did the same thing. They're just like, ugh. Yeah, that was funny.
The one thing that there were, like, a few little discrepancies I wasn't happy with, but the one that I can remember as of right now is, I don't know if this would constitute a spoiler, for it was the fight between Ernest and John Wick in the beginning.
Okay.
When he, like, stabs him in the shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and he like pulls it out. There is absolutely no blood on that knife, and I was like, "That is BS."
Yeah, it was.
I did not see blood on that.
I could have.
No, and I was like, "Come on, guys!" Like, because they're clearly showing the knife come out, and it's just a clean blade. But he opens his shirt later up, and there's like blood all over his chest.
Well, I mean, technically, if you stab somebody that fast, that is how it would work. Because, like, blood doesn't draw instantly when you stab somebody.
I don't know.
I mean, that's a very Hollywood thing to do. To like blood all the time. It's because when you cut yourself, you don't just bleed out. Like it takes some time for the blood vessels to actually like
coagulate.
And actually like your body just slowly bleeds. Doesn't, I mean, unless you're like pumping with action like they would have been.
That's why I've been liking the remake of Dororo, because you'll notice like every time like Hyakkimaru takes a slice, it takes like half a second for like blood to actually start coming out. It doesn't like come out as he's making the swipe.
That's right. We're supposed to talk about anime on this podcast. But John Wick is just so good. Everybody needs to go see it.
It's a segue.
We probably have news to talk about, right? Should we talk about news?
News! News! Yay. News!
They've been gone for 4 years off of television. Now they're back. And this time, it's personal. Season 3 of Non-Non-Biori.
Yes, that is the thing. We are not getting any more story out of it. We're just getting the same story over and over and over again.
No, it's different stories that happen throughout the year.
Andrew's bitter about
it. I am bitter about it. I like Non-Non-Biori. I love Non-Non-Biori. And I think that's why I'm so bitter about it, is because I love the series so much. I just want to see what happens next. It's just like, no, we're just going to start the season over again. It's like, ugh.
But it's no different from, like, say, like, The Simpsons or Crayon Shin-Chan.
I already talked about this. It is different. Because there's
no... Look, Detective Conan's been on for over 25 years. He would be at the age that he had been poisoned before turning into a little kid by now. He'd be actually past that by now if they would... If they had gotten that throughout the year.
It's different, though, because Non-Non-Biori is telling a linear timeline. They are actively starting it over. Like, where Simpsons doesn't pay attention to things like grades and seasons and, like changing seasons. And, like, they just make episodes based on what something that they would want to. It's a sitcom. Like, sitcoms are timeless. Non-Non-Biori is not a sitcom. It's a slice of life. So it actually takes place during a time period, and it starts in spring and it ends in winter. Like that's how it always goes for every season.
Yeah.
So there's actually a timeline, and she's a new student at the beginning of every season because she's like, oh, I'm learning about this culture, and then by the end, oh, I know about. So I just like, I want it to progress past that.
Yeah, because it's like the same way that Azumanga Daioh was set up, where they all graduated in the end, and you know, it was sad.
It was sad, but. But I am happy that Non-Non-Biori is coming out. I still haven't seen the movie, which I really want to see the movie.
Me too. I haven't heard yet. I know Sentai Filmworks has to have the license, but are waiting maybe for like Anime Expo to announce it.
You have to tell us when you go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that you were going.
Yes. And speaking of Anime Expo, they just announced a very big guest that's going to be there, making her first North American appearance. Bisco Hattori, the creator of Ouran High School Host Club.
Is she still relevant?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what, has she done anything other than...
Oh, yeah, there is a couple of series that she has... Yeah, there is a series that she's doing right now. Let's see, Behind the Scenes. Well, actually, she just finished up with a new with her most recent series, Behind the Scenes, which went for 7 volumes.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't know, because like I saw Ouran as an anime and I didn't see I didn't read the manga, so I just wasn't really into the manga at all. It was too even though it was like a breakdown of what the shoujo genre was, and it was a farce on the shoujo genre.
No, and I totally get where you're coming from with this, because I felt the same way. Like, I remember reading Ouran High School Host Club and being like, the humor just doesn't really come off as strong as it did in the anime.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know how they did that. I don't know how they achieved that, whether or not it was because of expression and the characters being able to actually act, you know, the way that they do or what. But it just didn't work in the manga. So I never really followed along with any of the manga of that. And not to mention, I'm just, like, not that big of a shoujo fan. It's not for me, so I wouldn't read it.
Though I am seeing right now that a lot of people are at Anime Central, and Kenichi Sonoda is there.
Yeah, I think he was showing off a bit of a sneak preview of the Being Bandit anime he's been working on.
Yeah. What? I've been seeing, like, Otaku Joe and everything, like, posting, like, taking a picture with him. And
I saw that. I was like, I did see that.
I hate you, man. It was like, I hate you.
I hate you,
I love you. I love you. I hate you.
So, hey, next time you're in Akihabara, how would you like to learn all about Akihabara with the cast of We Never Learn Bokuben?
What? That sounds awesome. Tell me
so, more. It just started recently. Visitors can pick up a sightseeing map focusing on maid cafes and other interesting locales, all presented from the perception of the cast of We Never Learn.
Oh, I see. So it's not actually like the cast of We Never Learn? It's...
No. That would have to be like a special one weekend thing. This thing's going on for, I think, like a month and a half or two.
Okay, all right. So it's not that exciting. Not to mention, like, you would never catch me dead in a maid cafe anyways. So.
Yes, we would. we would catch you alive. No, we would catch you alive in a maid cafe. If we caught you dead, we'd be calling the cops.
Hey, I was in Japan and I was like, I don't dare step foot in there.
I would never go into a maid cafe. I've heard stories of girls who work in maid cafes and they hate everybody.
If I weren't, I would treat them like a proper gentleman.
Don't call me master. That's just like, lady, don't call me master. Just serve me my food.
I'll give you a good tip, I promise.
But that would be so counterintuitive to, like, what the purpose of a maid cafe is. It's like, please don't treat me like this. And that's why I would never go, is because I would never want to be treated the way that maid
cafe. You can literally get omelet rice anywhere.
Yeah, but isn't that like what servers or waitresses, yeah.
But you won't get it written in a nice, cute little heart, and she won't go, moi, moi, kyun, kyun, to add a little magical spell to it.
How embarrassing.
What? Yeah, you don't know, the maid cafes, they shoot, like, they cast love spells on your food for you, and, like, you have to do the love spell with them. Now are you starting to see why I'm never going to go to one?
Yeah,
I went to one, but it was during the Tanabata, which, you know, the big, huge little festival aspect in Japan. So they weren't wearing their maid outfits then. They were all wearing yukata.
Okay.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Did they still cast a spell on your food?
Yes, they did. It was very cute. I got my picture taken with two of the girls.
So, like, they present the food, and let's say I get a burger. They present this burger, and then they try to cast this, like, they put these, like, spices on the burger, but they pose it as, like, a love spell. I'd be like, man, please stop, like, putting your love spell on my burger.
I'm hungry now. I want to eat. There's no time for spells. There's no time for spells. I want to eat food.
Right.
You know, hungry? The love's working because the food poisoning kicks in.
Muriel. Hungry.
Courage the Cowardly Dog? What?
Yeah. Anyways.
So, Masaki Yuasa, the director of such things as Lou Over the Wall and The Night of Short Walking Girl, is continuing to be seen as probably the most busiest anime director in Japan. Not only does he have a new movie coming out, not to mention the spinoff that he's doing based off of Crayon Shin-chan's dog, Shiro, but he also has another new anime series coming out, too.
Please don't call Violet Jack.
No, not yet.
It would be a perfect follow-up to Devilman Crybaby.
I know it would be a perfect follow-up to Devilman Crybaby. But he's got a new series coming out called Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken. And it's based off of a manga series, and it follows Midori, Tsubame, and Sayaka, an energetic trio of first-year high school girls who come together in the Video Research Club to turn their anime dreams into reality. Midori is nervous to create an anime alone, so she meets the two new girls, and they aspire to create a brand new animated series within the club.
Okay, that so what do they have to keep their hands off of then?
I don't know.
Oh, keep each your hands. Other, wink, wink.
Okay, keep your hands off of Azokin. So if that's the title, I'm going to guess that maybe like the club is going to be close to like closing, and so Midori comes in and like rescues the club from being shut down by the student council. Maybe that's why it's keep your hands off that club. You know, that sort of thing.
Maybe. I don't know. I was thinking like, I was thinking there's like some creepy perverted thing, to be honest with you. It's like, keep your hands off me.
Yeah. Hashtag me too.
Cause you thought it too.
Yeah. Hashtag me too.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yes. So, on the English language side of things, it has finally been announced that the Konosuba, an explosion on this wonderful world light novel series, the spinoff that stars Megumin before she meets Kazuma, Aqua, and Darkness, is coming to America this November.
First of all, that first the title makes it sound like a hentai. But go on.
An explosion on this wonderful world?
Oh, boy.
Oh, who knows? It's a light novel series, so who knows what we're gonna get.
It's gonna be funny. It's from the same light novel writer, so it'll be good, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of isekai, it seems like not even the most iconic works of Osamu Tezuka can escape the isekai genre, as it's been announced that there is going to be a Black Jack manga series where he gets transferred to another world.
So now this, hold on, this would be interesting if it's like Blackjack in a medieval realm where like he has to perform medieval surgery on people. Like, that's an interesting series.
I mean, that would be. It's called, so the series of course is called Isekai Blackjack, and it's inspired by the original series and moves the setting to an alternate world where Blackjack must struggle.
Interesting. Or maybe maybe he gets transported into the world of the Nick, and like he's in there with Clive Owen, and they're doing surgeries,
like practice surgery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The experiment. He's in the Nick doing experimental surgeries or like
unnecessary
surgery. Yeah. That was Dr. Barber, by the way, from
It sounded wonderful.
All right, how about some strange news?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh, wow, strange news.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Some strange news. So, as I think we can all attest, nothing is more uncomfortable than when we all get our periods. Isn't that right?
I'm uncomfortable already.
Mine's
You're making our issues. Audience uncomfortable. How dare you?
So, wouldn't you just like to have the opportunity to just punch menstruation in the face? Well, guess what? Now you can. Enter Little Miss P. Based on the acclaimed manga by Ken Koyama, you can own a little plushy character that's supposed to be a animalistic personification, whatever you want to call it, of a period, and you can beat the crap out of it.
What?
Why can't they use this tagline in American commercials for like feminine products? That'd be fantastic.
Pictures or die.
Hold on, I am sending it to you right now. Look in your Facebook.
Oh, I don't know if I want to see this.
It's more cuter than you think it is. Don't worry.
That's what they all say.
Way more cuter.
And then I'll be scarred for life.
Oh, it's kind of creepy.
See what I mean? I haven't even looked at it yet.
I don't know.
So I might avoid this.
I want to beat it up because it's a nerd, not because it's a period.
Yeah. Holy crap, that is creepy. That is a horrifying doll.
I don't care if it's a period or not. I'm going to punch it in its face.
What does it look like? What? It looks like a stomach and a heart and with blood on the bottom.
I don't know if that's...
With, like, a bandage over the nose?
It stares into your soul.
It's like...
That represents a period?
I don't know.
There's nothing that represents a period.
That is a question mark.
It's like if you took a cartoonish like heart and stomach, they had sex, and like this was their baby.
Or how about a fleshy tooth?
Yeah, that's kind of that's a pretty good description. It looks like a tooth, but it's pink and has a weird face. Mm-hmm.
That's to signify how it bites your vagina once a month.
Oh boy!
Do you know how the female body works, Derek? At all?
Yeah, that's the slot where the change comes out, right?
Whose high voice was that?
Bro, Greg.
I'm actually crying a little bit. That was great. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of the change in the shake weight joke with the taxi cab. Just him saying that.
There was another piece of strange news that came from our Wicked Fan Mike on Twitter, where he sent us Geodude is now a mask or an ambassador to the Iwate Prefecture. Where,
which is strange.
Yeah, Geodude. I don't know, like, why out of any Pokemon that you could have picked, Geodude.
I feel like, yeah.
Iwate means is used with the characters rock and hand, and Geodude is literally a rock with hands. So I guess that's why they.
I mean, you could have used Graveler or Golem because they're rocks with hands.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, but I mean, Geodude is the first form of both those, right?
Yeah, so it goes Geodude, Graveler, and Golem. Although Graveler is the most ugly looking of the three of them.
Yeah, and Geodude has two arms, no legs. Graveler has two legs, four arms, and then Golem has two arms, two legs.
Like, Graveler looks like a dumbed-down version of Machamp. That's not, like, Machamp is just bomb, and then, like, Graveler's kind of like the cousin that, or the stepchild. I'm glad I got somebody
to
laugh.
He looks like a secondary Fraggle character.
Come to Fraggle Rock.
So, I've got some interesting Into the West news.
Oh, Into the West? Into the West, really?
A little bit, kind of like historic style. Because apparently, so we all know the director Kunihiro Ikuharu, right?
Do we? I don't know.
he directed Sailor Moon. He's also directed Yuri Kumarashi. And he's directing this season's Sara Zanmai, which is about the three little gay Kappa dudes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, literally, they are gay.
I know.
So, apparently, back when Ikuhara was working for Toei Animation, he was in charge, he was asked to direct some Western cartoons. Because back then, Toei Animation was contracted to do animation for American shows. And can you guess which American cartoon that Kunihiro Ikuhara directed the first five episodes of?
Please tell me it was the one with Gatsuki.
Peppa Pig.
Yeah, he loves muddy puddles. That's where the whole thing started. It's like,
yeah,
he's on a break. He's out there jumping in those muddy puddles. What era are we talking about for cartoons?
We are talking late 80s, early 90s.
Thundercats.
Nope.
Thundercats, no!
Dragon Ball Z.
That's not American.
Not Transformers.
Hold on one second. Before we answer this question...
I know, Victoria's been like messaging us about...
I know, but about the period thing, she said, for the price of the manga and the plush, you can get a decent heating pad, my doll, and ice cream. Way less creepy looking.
And that was a real female saying that.
Pretty good. What were we talking about?
We were talking about the Into the West.
Oh, all right. Yeah, we still haven't figured that out.
Yep. Lost. Have you given up yet?
I give up. I have no idea. Honestly, Toei was...
He-Man.
Nope.
Damn it. I give up.
Toei, the Godzilla was the only thing that Toei had. So that was...
That's Toho.
Oh, that's Toho. Dang it.
You suck at this.
You suck at this.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Really? That makes a lot of sense now. Mm. It is...
Because technically now he's gone back to his roots. Now it's Teenage Gay Boy Ninja Kappas, Teenage Gay Boy Ninja Kappas. But yeah, he wrote the first... Well, he directed the first... The 5-episode pilot for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Huh. We just... yeah. That's interesting. Just can't help those action animals. He likes those action animals.
Yeah, so he fed into the furry fandom.
Yeah, it's his fault that American kids of the late 80s and early 90s are all furries.
Yep, every single one of us are furries. Including
us furry.
Yeah, that's more of a... I made the joke with this with one of my...
That's a flesh bag.
No, it's a scaly.
Well, ugh. Scaly is a thing. So, okay, here's how it works. They're all furries... But they have scalies, and they have, like, fish one. I don't know what they're called. I'm not, like, into the furry fandom, but, like, everything is a furry that's, like, an anthropomorphic animal that includes the fetish of, oh, I want to bang that. And I don't even know if that's true. I'm not a furry. But I can appreciate the art form of it because I have a couple furry characters myself in my comic book, which you can read in a couple months.
It's looking good, folks. Can't wait for you guys to see it.
Oh, thank you.
Self-plug.
Yeah, it's my show. I don't know. Then you have like, so the furries, and then you have like the scalies, and then you have whatever. I have a one of my art cohorts, one of the people I work closely with, is a furry and in the furry fandom and does all this stuff and knows all this information. I could ask him. It's like, what is like the fish ones called, and what are the protozoas called, and so scaly is a thing. So Ninja Turtles would be scalies, but they're also kind of furries. Because they're anthropomorphic. Somebody would be like, no, that's wrong. How dare you? And I'd be like, okay, that's fine. What about the people who are furries, but they're into like mammal animals? So like dolphin furries? Like, are they just...
What?
Dolphins aren't furry, though.
Well, neither are scalies.
Were you paying attention to anything that we just went through?
I'm just saying that, like, that there's animals that are also mammals, so, and seeing that humans are mammals, does it become all the, like, back around full circle? I don't know. I don't want to talk about this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This conversation has just gone downhill.
All right. We've got one unfortunate final sad news aspect of Into the West as something that probably helped with the creation of the meme culture has actually died.
Grumpy Cat.
Oh, that's right.
Well, not just Grumpy. Well, yeah. Okay, I guess there's two things then.
You weren't even talking about Grumpy Cat?
I was not talking about Grumpy Cat. No, I was talking about the closing of the website, You're the Man Now, Dog.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I was going through I read the article, or an article about that website shutting down. They had a YouTube compilation. They'll always have the YouTube compilations of it. And as I was watching it, I hated every single one of them. Like, it didn't age well, but like for meme culture, I appreciate you're the man now, dog.
Yes. I guess maybe we should just play the equivalent of its taps.
That's where that came from?
Yep. Alright, we're gonna get canceled for something.
I can't stop it! Ah, there we go.
My favorite one ever was back when Star Wars Episode 3 came out and people were going crazy with the Darth Vader. No!
Yes.
My favorite one was somebody put Darth Vader on
a roller coaster,
and it was no. That one was my favorite.
There was that one. There was one with a similar one, but it's Billy Corgan on from Smashing Pumpkins on a roller coaster, and it's just the long wee from 1979.
See, there were some good ones.
So it's sad. It's sad that that it no longer exists.
It makes sense, though, because I didn't even remember You're the Man Now, Dog until they were like, hey, guess what? It's dead. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess that's right, because I totally forgot about it. Everybody else did, too. So.
And, you know, I never realized that that's what that stood for. I just knew it as YTMND. I never knew it actually had an actual meaning until I read the article.
And everybody was like, hey, check out this new YTMND that, like, I created. And it's You're the Man Now, Dog. It's hilarious.
Pick a rum.
Which, by the way, the history of You're the Man Now, Dog, it was, like, the first one they ever created was Sean Connery. They, like, switched. They switched one of his lines around. It was supposed to be You're the Dog Now, Man, or something. I don't remember.
I have no idea. Dude, everything's going way over my head for this meme culture stuff.
Really?
No, the line You're the Man Now, Dog is from the film Finding Forrester, and that's where it originates from.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I never saw that movie, so.
Yeah, like, it's what the kid says in one part. It's like, you're the man now, dog. Well, I guess I am the man now.
Yeah.
I wish I was still a Highlander, though.
I don't think he does. Great. So I guess it's true that memes can't actually die.
I guess so.
Wow, that was, like, really sad.
Well, I mean, now memes have, like, a week lifespan now. Like, the span of a week. Like, that's
So back in the YTMND days, they had memes that lasted as long as, like, the laptops that lasted as long.
Yeah.
And now they're making memes that last as long as laptops last now.
Yeah, it's like the new weekly famous meme, and then everybody forgets about it. They use it for, like, a month, and then they never use it again.
They see their meme, they throw out their computer.
And I see every single one of them now that I'm on Discord.
I'm still keeping the Harambe meme alive.
Yeah.
You are.
Every time I play Super Smash Brothers, that's my gamer tag because somebody brought
it up. Actually, there's
to
me. A couple people keeping the Harambe meme alive, and I appreciate it.
And I remember last year. Speaking
of which, there's an excellent video game which was originally a Harambe simulator. It is on the Nintendo Switch. It's called Ape Out. It's one of the best games I've played this year.
Is this supposed to be like a JFK Reloaded sort of deal, or
what? It's more of like, it's one of those like one shot and you're dead, but you play a gorilla and you have to rampage through every single level and kill everyone on there.
That sounds horrible.
It's really and the sound design, it's all like a drumming soundtrack, but the drumming goes with your actions. It's so cool.
It's a bit like Doom.
Almost, it's almost. It's like the indie version of Doom,
but it's not. It's not third. First person.
It's a top down third person. Well, yeah, top down sort of thing. Next time you come over, I'll bring it. Next time I come over their place, I'll bring it over so you can check it out.
That sounds good to me.
Play Harambe Simulator. Okay.
So, does that mean we're on to what we're watching?
I guess that does mean we're on to what we're watching.
Well, I'm not really watching anything new. I'm caught up with Senko-san, with Helpful Fox and Gosan.
It's still so cute.
It's still adorable, but it's just like, I get it. That's basically like what all the episodes are, is just more of the same being cute thing. It's just like, how do we make it new cute that we haven't done cute before? And it's like, oh, well, this time she's taking a bath. And it's like, oh, well, this time she's afraid of the vacuum cleaner. And oh, this time they're playing video games. And it's just, but it's like all the same kind of cute.
Is this like, supposed to be like, what was that one, like, workout DX or a workout?
No, but there is that POV aspect that's at the end of each episode of Sangu Song. So there which is like, kind of like that.
There is a Dogakobo type thing, like where, or the Dogakobo anime, this is a story, and this is this guy's room, and she has some sort of ties to his ancestors, and so she really likes him, so she's doing this as a favor. And then there's this other fox girl named Shiro, who's the white fox girl, which is, it's like, oh yeah, her name's Shiro, so she's the white fox girl. Great.
Yeah, now you figured that out.
And then she's gonna end up probably helping out the neighbor, taking care of the neighbor, because the neighbor's a slob, but she's more of a reckless kind of, whatever, new characters. And then at the end of every episode, there's Super Senko time, where it's basically the one room style POV workout DX
Senko. Although this past week it was Super Shiro time.
It was Super Shiro time, and I usually skip over them because it's like, I don't care. Like, this isn't really helping me out in any way.
Why aren't you real?
which is like kind of what this, because the series is about relieving stress on this one character, and because
phrasing.
By helping him around the house and helping him relax, because he has a rough day at work, and so she's cooking food for him, and so she's, you know, helping him, whatever. And to kind of like skip past the perverted aspect of like how perverted this could actually be, it's kind of like, oh, he just really likes to fluff her tail because she has a big bushy fox tail, and he just freaking loves that. He's just like, his favorite thing to do is fluff her fox tail.
It's kind of like if you have a dog and be like, it's a nice big cute little fuzzy doggy and I just want to pet you. That's kind of like, it's similar to that.
But it turns her on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oof. But it doesn't really, but like, not on all the way on. What? It feels good for her. But not in a kind of way.
I mean, we don't know. It might, because she, we don't know.
Sounds like it.
But it's weird because it's one of those things that she looks like a child.
Yep.
But she's really
700 years old.
But yeah, but she's really 800 years old. So she looks at the guy, even though he's like a 40 something year old. No, like, okay, he's probably like late 20s. He's probably like 28 or something. And
yeah, the job aged him 20 years.
And she thinks that he's the child. And she's like, oh, I'm like your mom. And he's like, no, you're more like my sister. And she's like, you're funny because you're cute and you're young. But she's really like an old lady.
I'm an old lady. Like,
yeah, like we swear.
I promise. So when all the doujins come out.
Yeah.
Oh, there will be doujins.
Oh, I'm sure there already are.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wish we could still play the Tumblr game with this.
Yeah, eventually we're going to be playing the Tumblr game from the sounds of things. We're going to be playing the
Tumblr game. Oh, that's right, because Pornhub might be buying them.
And the Tumblr game is you bank your points when you find something that isn't porn.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's just going to be like, oh, cool.
Well, technically, since you have the Wicked Anime Tumblr page, that means you're going to be associated with Pornhub soon, too.
Yep, time to get rid of the Tumblr.
And Faku, because it's Pornhub and Faku who are looking to buy it.
Really?
Yep. Seriously.
Why not just make their own social media website then? Like,
I don't know.
Why does not... Well, you buy it, it's already there. It's already set up. All the heavy work is done.
All the content's already there. That's for sure.
So, has anybody else been watching anything?
I've been watching ReZero.
Oh, yeah. How are your continuing adventures in ReZero going?
I am liking it. I do understand the Rem love. I don't understand the Emilia hate yet, though. I'm on, like, episode 17.
It's just because she sucks, all right?
I don't think she sucks. She does things, but the problem is, you know, Subaru dies, and it undoes all the good things that she does.
Right.
But, you know, I do have to say, though, that Subaru kind of is a bit of a creepy protagonist in some places.
Oh, he's awful.
Okay, so it's not just me. Like, when he, when, like, I'm at that part, like, so, like, he, it's about to, like, it's the third reset or the fourth reset of this current arc. And basically, Emilia and him have separated, have split ways. But it was, like, that little speech that he was saying in bed where he was yelling and screaming, that was kind of disturbing what he was saying.
Yeah, so, along that part of the show, like, it, the restarts got really frustrating to me because I just wanted the story to progress so bad. It's almost like a condensed version of why Andrew hates the beginning of every Nanyan Buren series, because that's how it feels every single time he dies and then he respawns at one of those beginning points.
Yeah, he's making save points.
Yeah, save points, checkpoints, that sort of thing. And I like that aspect of the show, but I just don't think Subaru is that good of a protagonist.
He's not. Like, I don't know.
It's... Like, the only reason why I'm watching this is so I can understand the jokes in Isekai Quartet, which has been a laugh-out-loud riot every episode.
Yeah, I haven't watched that. I haven't watched a thing at all this season. Just...
But, like... I understand Rem is a great character. So is Ram. The twins are excellent characters. I would like to see more of a focus on them, and I'm pretty sure most fans do. But just Subaru as a protagonist, I just can't really, like him. And I can't hate Emilia the way that the anime fan base seems to be hating Emilia.
You know what I really like? I really like that none of us give a crap about One Punch Man.
This season. Okay. So I've been watching One Punch Man season 2. I do not blame JC staff for why One Punch Man season 2 isn't that great. I'm blaming the writing. Hmm. The writing isn't that good. It's not as clever as season 1. You're not seeing as much as Saitama, which was basically the focus of One Punch Man. He's kind of like almost become like a background character to everything.
Wait, really?
For reals.
So I haven't even started it. So
like, so, you know, it's not, doesn't look as great as a Madhouse production, but JC Staff is a great anime production company. I mean, they gave us Isuranda Trying to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon. It gave us Alice and Zoroku. They have a great resume when it comes to anime, so I don't blame them. And some of the action sequences are still pretty good in One Punch Man Season 2. The writing, though, is just where it just isn't winning me over. I feel like Madhouse might have been avoiding continuing the series because the manga itself wasn't as great as, you know, the first 12 episodes were showcased.
I think it was just because Madhouse was really expensive. Like, that's kind of why I would think that they wouldn't do it. Because they are expensive.
They are expensive, but they bring out a quality product. I mean, Boogie Pop and Others was fantastic last season.
Yeah, it was. And then I fell off of that, too. So
continue watching it.
I'm trying to think if I am actually watching anything else. I mean, yeah. Are we watching We Never Learn?
I want to say that I am loving the anime more of We Never Learn than I am with the manga. The pacing of the anime is so much better than the manga. The manga seems to drag a lot of stories around for, like, chapter lengths that should have been, like, 3 or 4 pages. And We Never Learn is fixing that issue.
Yeah, but I've been reading the manga, so ever since I've been reading the manga, I've fallen behind on watching the anime because, like, oh, I've seen it, you know, but I would indeed really, really like to see that stuff animated because the anime is so good.
Yeah.
So the anime is really good, so I do need to catch, so there's a couple things that I need to catch up on. I'm caught up with Senko-san, so I need to catch up on Shield Hero and We Never Learn. Those are basically the three shows I'm watching this season.
The one that I have actually, like, just loved to death, and it's a short series, it's a 12-minute episode series, and that is Senryu Girl, which is on both High Dive and Crunchyroll. And it's the show about the girl who can only speak in, like, haiku style.
Mm.
It's just, it's like, the character is very cute, and just the stories that take place with it are very, they're kind of clever, it's very funny, and it's, and like I said, each episode's only 12 episodes long, so it doesn't take up too much of your time. I would highly recommend people watch that show if they haven't. Like you watch this, you like the main character who does only speaks in haiku. Like she doesn't speak. She writes everything down in like those like little kind of those little things of paper that people write haiku on or limerick or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And but the way it's presented, it's just so warm-hearted. It's become like that and Senko-san are like my two feel-good anime of the season.
All right.
Yeah. Derek, how about you?
Yeah.
Nothing I'm currently watching, but my girlfriend and I, or she wants to watch Full Metal Alchemist.
Good choice.
So, Brotherhood?
That's my question. Which one should I start with?
Brotherhood.
Brotherhood more, but they both are pretty good stories.
Well,
you
so,
watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and then you stop because there's...
Yeah, well, after you watch Brotherhood, the anime becomes kind of irrelevant. Because
basically,
because the story is the actual canon storyline of Full Metal Alchemist is Brotherhood,
right?
Not only that, but the quality is top notch. And just the whole production is there, and you get the whole story from beginning to end. So I would highly recommend Brotherhood, and I would just watch that.
Yeah,
because it's that and the movie The Sacred Star of Milos. Watch those two. Don't watch Full Metal Alchemist, the original series, and don't watch...
Conquerors of Shambhala.
Yeah, don't watch that.
I thought Sacred Star of Milos was also part of the other series.
No, that was after Brotherhood.
It is?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Nice. So, should we talk about some cool old people?
Yeah, yes, please, for every kind, I'm kidding around and I'm going to die soon. Talk about the cool old people.
Cool anime old people.
not real cool old people. I'm going to go sit over there and just go...
I don't know what kind of old people you've been around, Evan, but literally none of them sound like that.
Here's the dinner bell.
News bell. No one sounds like that.
So who's got a cool old person? Cool action old person.
The old action. The... Who's Derek? Who's the ultimate cool old person in action?
Yeah, that'd have to be Jackie Chan. I saw a Dragon Ball reference.
A martial arts life is an only life for me.
So Master Roshi. Everybody likes Master Roshi, I think.
Everybody right? loves Master Roshi.
Except the ladies.
The original Me Too movement.
Oh my gosh.
Oh god. On the next episode of Dragon. Where's this lawsuit I got here?
Greg, cut that out.
That might have been the worst joke I've ever said on this show.
It's really not, but like, it's hilarious.
It is. It's just like, whoa.
It's actually a funny joke, so we have to cut it.
Yeah. Master Roshi's been around since the early 80s. I think that's where you mostly find most of your cool people. I know there's a guy in One Punch Man that everybody really likes. Who's old, but you find most of your cooler, older characters. Like, there's not many old characters anymore, as far as anime goes.
The last one that I saw that I really liked was Zoroku from Alice in Zoroku.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes! I don't like crooked stuff.
I don't know. I did like Gran Torino.
Oh! That's a good one.
That is a good one. Because Gran Torino is also a very good movie about an old person.
You said Gran Torino, I thought you were talking about the Clint Eastwood movie. Yeah. And I was like, we're talking about anime characters.
And then Gran Torino is, in fact, an old person in My Hero Academia. Yeah. So. He is a good character because I thought he was going to die. And then...
like, instantaneously.
And he hasn't, so...
Just like Clint Eastwood, who's, like, almost 90 years old.
Yeah.
And he's still directing movies.
And he's awesome. I love Clint Eastwood so much.
Also, easy choice. I mean, okay, so Clint Eastwood's a little bit taller than Gran Torino, but that would be such an easy choice for a casting for a live action.
Could you imagine a live action My Hero Academia movie and Gran Torino was played by Clint Eastwood?
But on Peter Dinklage's body.
Sign me up.
No, he just walks around at his knees the whole time.
Deku, do you think that you can achieve all your ultimate power? I don't know what he's
saying. Toshinori?
Can you make me my Hot Pocket, Deku?
Deku, do you think you can help me smuggle these drugs? Nobody saw the mule.
The mule was a good movie.
No, I really wanted to see the movie. I was super into that.
But... Fantastic movie, but that's the root of the joke, so.
I understood that joke.
I understood
that. I just didn't laugh at it.
Fair enough.
I don't know if you would define him as a cool old person, but Ray's grandpa from Sailor Moon.
I am not familiar enough with Sailor Moon to tell you that or not.
Say
Well, he's kind of very similar to Master Roshi, a bit of like a little bit of a womanizer, but he's also a practical joker too. So yeah. he's pretty funny. Well, you know who will never be on this list, by the way, is Hapuse from Ranma One Half.
Well, that's who I was just about to mention was Hapuse, who's
never on this list. Thanks for ruining a good series, asshole.
Is that really what happened?
As soon as Hapuse showed up and just stuck around, like, I stopped watching Ranma because it was just bad.
That's so sad.
I didn't stop watching Ranma, but it did kind of dip in quality. Not the story itself, but just having that character around is just like, oh man, like, this is a Hapuse episode. I hope it's not story important because I really don't want to watch it. You know?
Really? Oh, that's really disappointing.
I did watch it, though.
Yeah.
Especially because any grandpa-based episode in The Simpsons was so amazing. So
yeah, the seventh like the same thing. The Hellfish episode is still one of the best ones. All right, how about Grandpa Nirasaki from Wolf Children, the one who teaches Hana how to farm?
Yeah, I was hoping that he was gonna beat up some fools in that. He's kind of like the Clint Eastwood character.
Yeah, he was the Clint Eastwood. Like, they should, like, Funimation should have paid whatever Clint Eastwood would have asked to voice that character.
That role was made for him.
Yeah, and who did it? Some no-name actor named Jerry Russell is the one who voices him in the English dub. It could have been Clint Eastwood!
This isn't a Ghibli film that was released. So if Disney released
or G Kids, if it was G Kids,
I don't know if G Kids would have been able to get Clint Eastwood. The only time that like an A-list celebrity has ever voiced for an anime was when Disney released a Studio Ghibli film. So, like, I think we would have had Clint Eastwood on board if Disney released it. But that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that's a lot of men. How about? Is it Genkai from Yu Yu Hakusho?
I can't even really think of any like.
It was the older woman who first started training.
The great
I
Granny
don't
from
that,
from Summer but... Wars. Granny from Summer Wars.
We were talking about Yu Yu Hakusho.
Toshinori.
But yes, Granny from Summer Wars. She can kick some pretty serious butt.
That's right. She had that weapon. She was gonna kill her son, her adopted son. Do the kids from Akira count? The green kids. Oh,
the little Louis Anderson.
He really did look like Louis Anderson.
Yeah, it was the sequel to Life with Louis.
Oh man, I forgot about that. Yeah, no, they like are they old people? Like were they like kids?
I don't know. They never really touched on that.
They probably did in the manga.
No, I read the manga. I don't ever remember them touching on that.
You read the whole thing?
Their kids,
I read all six giant, massive volumes of Akira, yes.
Huh.
Back when I was in high school.
It reminds me of Old Kid from Invader Zim.
Yeah. How's it going?
Suppose you're saying that Old Kid's an alien, too.
Let's see. Oh, the leader of Fairy Tail.
I've never seen Fairy Tail.
What's his name? You've been watching it more than I have.
Yeah, but it's been like at least a month or so. Yes, him.
So this is the hard part about this topic is like I totally so
Mavis.
There we go.
So there are so many anime that are based around like kids and trying to connect to kids the age demographic that they want to capture in an anime. So therefore there's rarely any old people ever. Usually in like the basics of a storytelling, like a movie or anything like that, or anything that has storytelling, there's the mentor, right? Is that it? The mentor?
Yeah.
And the mentor character is usually supposed to be like this old person.
Right. Who, kind of like in this season, there's the wise man's grandchild and the mentor is Merlin.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, but nowadays, like, especially in anime, they've been making the mentor character like this hot chick, or like that is supposed to turn into best girl, and they've gotten rid of the old dude who is supposed to be the mentor.
Well, yeah, true. Okay, here's one. I don't know if it counts because you first are introduced to him when he is young, but as the series progresses, you get to see him age as it goes on. Joseph Joestar of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Joseph Joestar should be at the top of this list, and I can't believe it's taken us this long to get to him. I like Joseph Joestar back when I first saw the original 1993 OVAs, and then they introduced him as like in the remake series when we saw him
Battle
as young.
Tendency.
Yeah, but nothing compares to old Joseph Joestar ever. Like, he will always be the best. Especially if it was played by Richard Epcorn at Anime Boston. He said, oh my god, that was funny. So what's the story behind them? Is there supposed to be some sort of secret, or are they just supposed to be like a Statler and Waldorf sort of thing?
I think they're more like Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Statler and Waldorf are the two old Muppets who make fun of everybody.
How do you not know this, people?
People who were born after the Muppet Show.
Technically, we are millennials.
You're right, I know.
Ugh.
Not right here. Not here.
We could be speaking to Generation Z. That is the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I have it here there. So their names are Antonio, Carlos, and Jobin. They make various claims about what they did before becoming old-timers. But let's see, according to the official Cowboy Bebop guide, it's not known if Antonio, Carlos, and Jobin are their real names.
Ooh.
And apparently all three of them actually make an appearance in episode 11 of Blood Blood.
But they still don't like do anything though, right?
Probably not, but I find it kind of interesting. Yeah, it doesn't say anything about any possibilities of what they did or what they do or what they might have been or what they could symbolize, but I just remember them being very entertaining when they were
nice.
On screen.
I just had one too.
Well, there's also in Cowboy Bebop the Native American character, Laughing Bull. You take women too lightly.
I feel like we're just naming old characters.
Well,
but they're epic old.
One of my favorite ones ever was Walter from Helsing. Like he was the bomb at the beginning. Yeah. Like that classic. That really classic action movie character, kind of like how awesome Alfred was in the Batman series. That was what Walter was like. Butler to the Helsing organization.
I agree.
I mean, that scene where he Fs up Jan Valentine is
speaking of butlers named Alfred, there is one question I wanted to ask the group. It might be a little off topic from old men. Actually, no. Well, yeah, because Alfred's an old man.
Yeah, okay.
In this other universe.
Okay.
And so is the man that he serves. How do you guys think about Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne or Batman?
I'm actually hoping it's more of a Batman Beyond movie.
I could
see him being a Terry McGinnis.
Is he supposed to be?
But actually, Bruce Wayne from Batman Beyond is
that's
a
true.
Very good old guy animated
Old
character.
Bruce Wayne was the bomb.
I was expecting Andrew to go on a rant about how he thinks this pick sucks, and I'm kind of disappointed.
Oh, about
Robert Pattinson being
about
Batman.
About Robert Pattinson being Batman.
I don't even know anything about this.
Listen, there has never, ever, ever been a good Batman.
Yeah,
ever.
Whoa.
So
Michael Keaton, Christian Bale, Val
Christian
Kilmer.
Bale was, Christian Bale.
Yeah,
was
I was about to say Michael Keaton.
No, he was not.
Yes, he was a terrible Batman, and I hate him. Okay, so. Yes, Michael Keaton was a great Batman. He was actually,
that's
West,
kind
yeah.
of like,
yeah,
that's
Adam
different.
West.
Adam West is more of like a parody of what Batman actually is though.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't actually Batman.
Actually, they broke it up into three different types of Batman. They have the, or I'm sorry, they're talking about the Joker really, but. Never mind.
All right, then.
There's three different types. Just, forget it.
This is how well our topic is going, as you can see.
Yeah, all right. What are more old people in anime that we could all agree
Name.
On? What?
I'm trying to throw in, like, what are some more old people that we can name? honestly, if I had to pick one, though, I'd still go with Roshi. Because especially in Dragon Ball 2, that was like the only link that Goku had to his father.
Is that really what it is?
Longest time. Or to his grandfather, I mean. Longest time. Yeah, Roshi and Grandpa Gohan,
okay.
Actually.
That is like... That's beyond my Dragon Ball knowledge. My Dragon Ballage, as you would call it.
I mean, Dragon Ball is a completely different series from Dragon Ball Z. It's a lot funnier and has a lot more crude humor and a lot better at telling stories that don't involve just charging up for an entire episode. So
it's why I actually prefer it over to Dragon Ball Z and Super.
It's definitely worth a watch.
Well, hey,
it's
what's
old,
wrong
it's
with old?
But
yeah, old is,
so
is my jam. That's my anime.
I mean, certain parts of it wouldn't be accepted today. Like, you can't... go searching for balls by slapping
what?
Ball nut underneath the
yeah,
waist.
Yeah, remember? Because
yeah,
cause Goku
pats her crotch.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, he was hoping for a pillow. I shit you not, he was actually looking to take a nap, and he used to remember resting on Grandpa Gohan's balls. So he starts slapping around Bulma's crotch area looking for him.
So that's like, but
because
that's, that's legitimately, I know it's crude, but that's like legitimately a little kid thing. So it makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
Like they almost try to make him like a Tarzan kind of creature. Just someone
yeah.
who's been
some kind of primitive being
out in the wild. Almost. And that's what happens when you don't have a good
that's
old
right.
character in your life like Grandpa.
And
Bulma.
I think that's where we reach the end of the topic.
Glad I
All
could
right.
tie that together.
So let's do some shameless plugs and we'll wrap up this episode.
Do we have any fan service though?
I read our fan service during news. We had that one from Wicked Fan Mike who gave us the Geodude information. Other than that, I haven't seen any. I haven't been on Discord. All right.
So other if you guys want to, if you guys
go fast,
what? If you guys want to join in on the conversation, you totally can. You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, which is practically our home base for everything. You can send us messages. You can comment on our posts. You can see cool news stories that we're posting all the time. You can also follow up with any kind of news or events that we may be going to or attending or reviewing or whatever. You can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime if you're not already listening to that podcast right there, right now, because you can find the podcast elsewhere, such as places like Stitcher and Acast and Podchasers and wherever else you might find your podcasting coolness. You can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where you can find all of Wicked Anime's best videos ever and all of our historical archives of where Wicked Anime got its start and whatnot.
Yeah.
And hey, you can find us on social media. You can tweet at us at Yo Wicked Anime. And of course, biggest part of all, you can join that Discord. If you're on the Facebook page right now, you can click that link that's pinned to the top of the Discord invitation, and you can find our meme center and our news center and our podcast center.
With all the Ahikao faces.
With all the Ahikao faces. that you may desire. Discord. Yeah, we can make Discord. That's new and fun and entertaining, and we love hanging out with people on that. And hey, you can find me, AFLM, at AFLM Art. You can find my Facebook page, facebook.com/AFLMArt, or just at me at AFLM Art. You can also find me at Instagram, at AFLM_Art. It's pretty easy, pretty simple, pretty well known across the board. You just type in AFLM and you'll mostly find me. I'm open for commissions, and I am working on a webcomic, which will be posted pretty soon. Website's going to launch pretty soon, I imagine. I have about maybe like 15 or so more pages to go before I'm actually able to post it, and then I'll be launching a Patreon.
Cool.
Yeah. Evan, what do you got?
So, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and on the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and facebook.com/landofash. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smash Rook. And we're just 1 month away before going to Anime Expo. I will be there. I will be reporting on what's going on. And I'm going to be hopefully hanging out with our good buddy, 42 Believer Sarah, at this event. It's going to be so much fun. And it's going to actually kind of celebrate the 10th anniversary of Boston Bastard Brigade.
Neat. Derek?
Awesome. Well, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Elite4Derek. Otherwise, you can find me losing all of my money as I go to the Belmont Stakes and bet everything that I have on Special Week, because I do not realize what reality and
So, folks, one other thing. So, as some people might know, for the last year, Elite Four Derek and I have actually been living under the same roof. And you might have seen actually a bit of the apartment when we did our live wikis. And unfortunately, our time under the same roof has come to pass.
Sad. Got a
good opportunity. I'm going to be moving over to a nice little area in Cambridge. But living with one of my bestest friends has been such a thrill for me. And to really show my thanks and gratitude, I actually have a little something for you right here, Derek.
Oh!
Aww.
Woo! What is it?
Aww.
Open it. Open it.
It's cubic. It's like a box.
It's the period plushie.
This is a microphone.
Yay!
A microphone!
Oh, man. Okay, so it looks like I'm still going to keep joining you guys.
Woo! Woo!
Yep, that is the Snowball Ice by Blue Microphones. That's actually the same microphone that Electric Sisterhood uses when we do our roundtables at conventions.
Yeah, they're really freaking good quality microphones.
Yes. And I will have to not sit in my squeaky office chair today. Because Greg will murder me in my sleep if I do that with all the editing that we'll have to do.
Yay, excellent.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
You're welcome, dude.
Awesome.
All right, well,
I love how this is like Victoria's Secret, where they have like black sweatpants that say pink on the back, and this is a black microphone that says blue.
What a better way to end off our this week's podcast. I'm really happy that we were able to end it on a high note like that. And so with that, we will catch you all on the next episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. And until then, it is time for us to sign off the only way we know how.
Like, oh wait, Batman has stayed the same for all three of those phases.
Well, not entirely. He has nipples in some of them.
Oh. Yes, that's what I was going for. Nipples.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.